Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, let's get into the word. The apostolic bedrock. This is an attempt to, connect, to trace, when you look at the Bible, for instance, and you look at the book of Acts, most especially Acts of the Apostles, down to Paul's letters, Peter's letter, individual letters of the apostles, and the experiences afterwards, and you compare with our days, you are left with a question, or almost left with a question. I think anybody that really does that comparison will have a question. What is happening? Are we together? You'll be asking yourself, what is happening? Why are we seeing whatever we are seeing today that is actually wrong? And why? Hallelujah. God works in mysterious ways. Isn't it? It's someone I grew up with in Kaduna, is a pastor. A pastor that sang, "My wonder, sir, is that you be praised." Let's do the song. "That you be praised. That you be praised, my wonder, sir, my wonder, sir, is that you be praised. You be praised. That you be praised, my true desire, my true desire, is that you be praised. That you be praised, you be praised, that you be praised, my wonder, sir, my wonder, sir, that you be praised, that you be praised, that you be praised, that you be prayer." I wish I saw him before now. He would have done the song for us before he leaves. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright. So you are left with a question. What is happening with the present day church? Comparing the book of Acts, the writing of the individual apostles, the experiences in between their letters. When you look at the present day church, you're wondering what is wrong. And this is not an attempt to just condemn, because a lot of beautiful things are happening also in the present day church. But to compare, of course, we can tell that age was very successful as a church. So we want to compare and see where we're lacking. Are we together? And see the things we're missing that is making for the kind of result we're seeing today, if they are wrong results. Alright? So we'll compare and contrast. What are they doing that time that we're not doing right now? Firstly, their result those days and our result today. And if we're not comfortable with our result in this present age, what are they doing those days that is determining their result that we're not doing what? Today. Are we together? And that's why the team is called what? The apostolic what? Bedrock. Hallelujah to Jesus. And it's important for everyone who is a Christian, except you are not a Christian. This thing should be very important to you, not just for churches, not just for pastors, but for every child of God. So the first subtopic I wrote here was the unshakable base. And I said, since Christ is the chief cornerstone, the entire weight of your life, your identity, decisions, and future rests on his finished work. I said, if the cornerstone is perfect and eternal, the structure built upon it cannot collapse, regardless of external storms. So external storms do not really matter if you are built on the rock. If the foundation is okay, external storms do not really what? Matter. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, for instance, people going through a lot. People, you know, seeing diverse trials and temptation, and they are wondering, is God alive? Is God true? Yes, God is true. The Bible said in the book of Matthew 13, I've said that several times, that the Bible, you know, the Bible said, because of the seed of the word in our hearts, Satan does word. Huh? I heard Satan put a storm on in the flesh in the book of Matthew 13. How on earth is that connection possible? Where was Paul there? All right. God forgive who said that. Now, in Matthew 13, at this point, just for the record, Paul was not a Christian yet. Are we together? So, Matthew 13 speaks about the parable of the seed and the sower. And at a point, I can't tell what verse particularly, the Bible said, because of the word, I don't know if media can help me with that. Is that because of the seed of the word? Yes, Matthew 13, verse 23. Okay, Pastor answered verse 23. So let's say it together. We hope she's right. Else, wherever this gospel is preached, the world will know that you did not get this scripture right. So Pastor, I didn't get it right. Verse what? You know why I don't like asking scriptures in this church? He will just be calling the thing anyhow. So you have to show the world that we don't know scriptures. Just hit the nail on the head. Amen. Now as he sees so at night to look as if what we know we wanted something. Verse 21, who said so? Okay, well, let's see. Verse 21. All right. I think she got it. That's Miss Victory. So wherever this gospel is preached, people will know that you know scripture. All right. Yet he has no root in himself, the Bible said, but endures for a while. I promise to do this teaching, but I've not done it yet. But this is the emphasis. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately what? Stumbles. Can I have it in the Amplifier edition? The Amplifier edition. And when pressure or persecution comes because of the word. Now you see, our emphasis here is what? Pressure and persecution because of the word. That's just what I want you to get here. That the devil will bring tribulations and pressure, not because of anything, but because of the seed of God's word that will determine your destiny in your spirit. He will war. You know, the Bible speaks about, in First Peter, it speaks about the war in our soul. There's a war in our soul. The blessed woman of God, Joyce Myers, wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. That there's a war in our soul, a war in our mind. Are we together? That when God tells you a word and you receive in your spirit, Satan comes with a war in your mind, in your soul, to making sure that you are distorted from focusing on the word. He doesn't want you to focus on the word. He wants you to get center, you know, focus on other stuff so that you will stumble in life. So that you will not get to fulfill destiny. Are you all listening? Because the enemy has come but to what? To steal and to what? To kill. Now that's his job. He just wants to kill, he wants to steal, and get get us destroyed. That's all. I like to even major more on the stealing part. How do you think Satan steals from you? You think he steals from you by coming to carry your things like armed robbers do? No. When he gets you to focus on the wrong stuff, that's how he steals from you. He just helps you make sure you focus on the wrong stuff. That's how he steals from you. And you know, I was meditating yesterday and I wrote something as the Holy Ghost inspired me, that at the end of our journey in life, trying to paraphrase, may it be said that we didn't only trust God to give us all the things we need, but that we align with the Holy Spirit to making sure that all that he wants for the earth is fulfilled through our lives. Because if you are not careful as a human being, your entire focus and reason for serving God will be things. Things till you leave the earth. A job, admission, promotion, wife, children, that till you leave the earth. You see that your fight of faith is just for things that concerns, you know, the flesh. Nothing spiritual. You've never prayed for souls to be won. You've never prayed for lives to be changed. You never caught yourself praying that lives will be changed. Something is not right with your faith. Something is not right. A lot is not right with your work with God. If all you pray about, if you are listening to me right now, and all your prayer points that you can remember is what food to eat, a job, an admission, and that's all, you are a baby Christian. You are not grown yet. And I tell you, God will be helping you. He'll be giving you all the things you want. To a very fair extent. Till it comes to a point that is demanding growth in your life. At that point, you will not be receiving answered prayers again. Because now he wants you to grow. And that's why you hear some Christians say, I remember way back when I became a Christian earlier, all the things I pray about, God gives me. But at this point, I don't know why God has changed. He has not changed. He is still faithful. But right now, he's demanding what? Growth. You ought to grow. If he keeps on answering your prayer that way, you will not grow. Just like our earthly fathers and mothers. If they want us to grow, there are certain things they will not give us access to. If they see that the thing is making us think wrongly, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Remember years ago, I wanted to cut my hair. Come on, 200 naira. And I met my dad to give me 200 naira. I met him, I said, I want to cut my hair. He said, go and cut, who is stopping you? And I said, Well, these ladies are asking for 2,500, 1,500, 3,000. They are always giving them. Well, I said it in my heart. But right now, I'm asking for just 200 naira. And he's asking me, who is stopping me? I said, I want to go and cut my hair. I don't have money. He said, my friend, you are old enough to have money to cut your hair. What? As if he's paying me salary. But you know what? He was demanding growth from me. That when I have money, I should not be using it anyhow. I should keep it for important things. Because I'm a man, not a woman. I'm so sorry if that got to you as a woman. But he was giving women money. That's what I'm trying to say. He was giving them money. And when I ask the question, you say, they are women. That's where it stops. They are women. If I don't give them, somebody else will deceive them. What of me? Would they not deceive me? Hallelujah, Jesus. So he was demanding growth from me. That's why he wanted me to take responsibility for my life. Because he knows he has given me some money before. What did I use the money to do? So he wanted me to grow. I remember one time again, I came back from church and I was about to eat, and my sisters came and carried all my meat. And I got really offended. Very offended. And I rowled, what's wrong with you people? And I said, Simon. Because I've eaten his meat several times while growing up. As I started growing up, I was now saying, that does not make sense. I will not be, how will I come and be eating my dad's meat? You know, so I stopped. Not because he stopped me. So he now said, Have a large heart. What is meat that you are boning your face for? Be happy that your junior ones are eating your food. I say, hey, I should just be happy that people are eating my food. I'm sure if they even ate the food, it would not be a problem to me. But they carried my meat to be particular. What height of wickedness to me. He now said, have a large heart. Have a fatherly heart. You are the father of the house. He doesn't say, if you are not, you know, he will start preaching all the, if I'm not alive, is this how you take care of the home? You not allow your siblings to eat whatever they want to eat? Have a large heart. Be happy. So I enter into forceful happiness. That's how it is with God. He will be giving you all your needs, but at a point, he will demand growth. In the name of Jesus, my school fees cost nothing. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is helping me pay my house rent. Boom. No house rent. You are now shocked. Landlord is giving you quit notice. Under the mighty hand of God. And sometimes you are feeling the anointing. You know? You come to church, you feel the anointing, you go back home, they give you quit notice. Doesn't change anything because he's seeing that you are not taking what? Responsibility. But if he allows you to go through that season where they give you quit notice, and you go to a smaller house, you begin to think. There's something he wants you to discover about yourself. But if he leaves you in that self-contained with AC and water, you don't even fetch water, you just sit down, boom, all you do is to be chatting with everybody, you will not discover that glory. It makes it possible for you to first go and squat with somebody. And the person will make life so miserable for you for a moment. Why have you not washed the plates? I mean, nobody ever told you that in your house. You wash the plates after 3 days. Because it's your house. You can decide to wash the plate after 1 week. Somebody can just come to you and say, what is smelling there? Say, I don't know. It's something that is wrong in the kitchen. You'll be lying. But now, he brings it to somebody to discipline your life. The lady is not your mate, but the lady will tell you, please, when I'm in the house, don't be making call and be shouting. Be raising your voice too much. And you can't reduce the voice. You can't do anything outside what she said because it's her house. And if you talk too much, you'll be sent out. So you respect yourself. You behave very adequately. And she truly does not care if you are angry or not. And for some of you, be like, I thought you were my friend. See, you get God there and they are now squatting you in the house. God will now use that lady to discipline you. She may not necessarily have the best character, but God likes that. Because there's something he wants to remove. There's a glory he wants you to discover. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? There's something on your inside that if they don't shout for you, you will not cry and see it. The Bible says godly sorrows lead to repentance. Repentance there is not necessarily this regular repentance from sin that you cry. Maybe you may cry for this one. But the root word there is metanoion. Mental transformation. In other words, you begin to see life differently because of godly sorrow. A point comes after they shout on you, say, I can't take this anymore. Say, God, if you are alive, show me your glory. You have never prayed like that in your life. All you are praying for is for things. Now you are saying, God, show me your glory. And you enter into 7-day fast, a whole you fasting. You are fasting for 7 days. Lord, show me your glory. In the name of Jesus, you go to basketball court now. You are praying every time. You are praying every time. What spurred that prayer? Roommates. It's not because God is taking you backwards. No, he wants you to discover something about yourself. Many people are too, you know, they are too comfortable. That's why they are not, seeming to fulfill destiny. They are too comfortable. Too comfortable. I was talking to a young boy yesterday. I said, you will sit down amongst people who don't stir you up. You will never fulfill destiny. You want to sit down with people, they say go where you are celebrated and know where you are, whatever. And people have used that to cover up for rubbish character. You go and sit with fools celebrating you. And you think you are making progress with your life? My sister, you look hot. You have been celebrated. Meanwhile, you are wearing rubbish. But when you are amidst godly friends, they say, why will you dress like this? Are you not a child of God? You're like, I was mean of that. If you are not careful now, it turns into a little quarrel. Because ladies can preach to you with quarrel. And what is the meaning of that? You are a Christian. Why will you? I beg you. Say, no. I'm just being tolerated in this place. And some friends get this. People that God will use to speak to you, they may not necessarily have the best character. You know what I mean by that? They are Christians, though. They are Christians. But some of them may not have all the fruit of the Spirit. They can be advising you and shouting for you. You're mad that they talk to you. I'm like, why am I hearing you? You're mad in the advice. But did they advise you? Just collect the advice. Forget that you're mad. At that point, the Holy Ghost just withdrew. They are the ones that now continued. But he was the one that started it. But they went ahead of him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But if you judge them by all those things, you miss it. Like Paul now. Paul was teaching the church, Galatians. Imagine Paul was done teaching the people. You know, when I was reading up our scripture, anytime I look at it, I laugh because I see the frustration of Paul. And I used to tell God, I'm happy that we all had our own fair share of pastoring, including Paul. If I sit with Paul and we talk in heaven today, Paul will understand me very well. Some people, you pray for them, you teach them, they will still be looking at, my brother. Did you read my letter to the church in Galatians, the first one? Did you see what I wrote there? I did not know when I called them foolish people. I couldn't take it. Paul said, oh, ye foolish Galatians. Imagine Paul was your pastor. You know, some of you here, if you say, Paul, now you're excited. Wow, Paul, so intelligent. It's because Paul is not talking to you every day. That's why see finish has not entered. If Paul was the one standing here, with all the intelligence he has in the spirit, some people will still be familiar with Paul. It's the truth of life. It's not supposed to be like that, but it happens. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It happens. And that's why you must learn to guard your heart with all what? Diligence. Guard your heart. When you see that you are walking in dishonor, guard your heart. Speak to yourself. Paul was done teaching the people. And the people felt like what Paul was saying to them, because they have itchy ears, like Paul said in one of his letters to Timothy. People always have itchy ears. You hear sound wisdom, but you still have itchy ears. More like you want to hear what will align with your own useless, demonic, dark values. You have bad character, you don't want to change. So you are looking for a pastor that will teach something, probably an untrained pastor. Because we in the pastorhood, we understand some people are untrained yet. There are some who have not finished learning, who have gone to open ministry. We know. So they will always support things around dishonor. I understand the place of extreme honor. It has a wrong effect. But the place of honor, nobody can dispute that fact. It is the right of scripture. It is the teaching of scripture. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you this morning? And they begin to say things to you that were lying. You know, probably we thought and said, if God doesn't speak to you about a woman or a man, don't get married to them. But probably they themselves never believed in that. They felt like that was wrong. Or that's wrong. And so, when you are done listening to me, you now enter Facebook. After 5 minutes, you now hear all those preachers saying that God gives wife. They are just saying junks. If you see who you like and she's a Christian, marry her. Then you just hear chakam. Bam. Thank you, my pastor. You see, they now share it on WhatsApp. Listen to my pastor. Somebody that don't know you, listen to my pastor, because he's sounding like what you want to hear. A lot of people are like that. If you want to grow, That's not who you need to listen to. Listen to the one that used to pinch you. That when you listen, sometimes you feel like crying in church. You know, when you finish service, sometimes it's like they slap you everywhere. They slap your face. You just see your face, your eye, your face, your cheek is just red. That's the kind of pastor you need. They'll give you boss. That's what will determine growth. Because when you spare the rod, you what? You spoil the child. Are you listening to me? You can't joke with your life. You know, in the book of Acts, there are a set of Christians, they call the Bereans Christians. Can you remember? Paul did not have a problem. He said, when I teach, go and affirm it. He didn't have a problem. In fact, before Paul said it, they were doing it. Anytime Paul will teach, they will go back and check the Bible to see if Paul was right or wrong. And Paul was very excited. He called them the best Christians. Because they were not ready to joke with their lives. Are you listening to me tonight? In a generation where people don't have value for sound doctrine, there is trouble. There is fire on the mountain. Alright? So we're saying something that because of the seed of the word, what did the devil do? He brought challenges and tribulations because of the word. In other words, when the word is in your spirit, Satan brings a fight. He brings troubles and challenges, difficulties to steal the word. You know, of course, I explain how that God can help you with difficulties and challenges also to reveal the glory. And that's why the Bible said when Satan brings those challenges, you should count it all joy. Because God can use those challenges for your good. Satan meant it for bad, but God will use it for what? For good. And you know why he allowed it? Because he wanted something to be revealed in your spirit. He wants you to touch destiny. Are you here tonight? The next thing I highlighted was apostolic alignment. Maintaining the foundation of the apostles means staying true to their original doctrine and lifestyle. It's about following the blueprint they laid out. Prayer, fellowship, the unwavering focus on Jesus as the only source of authority. Prayer, fasting, the breaking of bread, just regular activities in the church. Not something extra. They were not full of concerts and shows and dramas and comedy. Was there even time to finish teaching doctrine before we bring a comedian? It was not possible. Are you all listening to me tonight? So if we begin to bring extra stuffs, activities in church that don't really matter, we will not raise strong Christians. I can't bring somebody to come and tell you people, you know, comedies that will not really do anything to your life. And as I saw what came to my office way back, I said, he has a call to be a comedian, and I'm saying it again. And I said, there is no call called comedian call. You think is everything on the earth that is okay? The things which are not eternal will be wiped off. The Bible said it. So you better be doing what is original, what is supposed to be, because a time will come, you will cease to exist in that aspect. It's the truth. And I told him, change your calling. In fact, he came and said he wanted to perform in Kabod. I said, for where? I didn't only tell him that he was wrong. I told him to change the calling immediately. Now he's making money in crypto and tech. But if it was a comedian, now he would come up and say, and there's nothing like Christian comedian, if you check it. They may start as Christian comedian, but they don't end up as Christian comedian. There's nothing like that. Because you can't be only... Churches don't have a lot of shows. The few ones that are doing is once in a while. But if you must really function in the world, you have to be talking like them. So you don't end up becoming a Christian comedian. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And what can a man offer in exchange of his word? So, how can you be singing songs and be talking about a woman's private part, a man's private part, sex, and etc.? And you think it's okay? And you think it's God's grace? It is not. Are you all listening to me? It is not. I heard a man of God, I was sharing with my wife. I said, I don't really like the way the man of God is quite toxic in the way he speaks the truth. Sometimes I feel this is not really necessary. The way you said it like this is not necessary. But I said, the last message I heard while he was addressing a certain matter, I said, I agree with quite some points. He made some point, even though I don't like the way he went about some points. But I agree, because you can actually say the truth without insulting anybody. You can say the truth without disrespecting anybody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Just say the truth. Just be a wonderful human being. Say the truth. Don't insult anybody. Are you listening to me? I was talking to my wife. I said, you know, very funny discussion. The Holy Spirit just led me and say, he said, do a study on Turkey. So because I've been hearing Turkey as a Christian nation, so I just wanted to be very, very sure of some things. So I said, what was Turkey in Bible days? What city was Turkey? The man said that part of the world was called Anatolia or Asia Minor. It was not a single city, but a region containing dozens of significant biblical cities and provinces. I said, So when I went further, I found out that 7 churches in the book of Revelation were in Turkey. Please listen carefully. You know those 7 churches that God spoke to in the book of Revelation? They were in Turkey. Then I now saw one church called Ephesus. I shouted, Ephesus, the city called Ephesus, The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God in the city of what? And the church was, I said, hey! They say Ephesus too is part of current day Turkey. There is no church there again. You see, sometimes how we preach here and we say, so mightily grew the word of God in the city of Ephesus, in the church. If somebody would have asked us, which Ephesus did he talk about? The person would have finished us. A lot of places, like Paul's birthplace, Tarsus, is part of the current day Turkey. You've heard of Antioch, where the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Can you remember that? It's part of the present day Turkey. The city to which the book of Colossians was addressed, Colossae or Colossae, is part of what? The current day Turkey. Haran, where Abraham lived after leaving Ur, that promised city, promised land of Abraham, part of the current day Turkey. Iconium, that was visited by Paul and Barnabas during their missions. Lystra, you can remember Lystra, where Paul met what? Timothy. And was once nearly stoned to death. Part of what? The current day Turkey. And I shouted and I came out to Gista. I said, what? That is why I think it is ignorance to a very fair extent to be quiet with what is happening in the Nigerian church today. Let me not say Nigerian church, with the Nigerian community. It is ignorance if men of God are quiet. Because the kind of Christianity we are practicing today, is it up to the one that was practiced in Ephesus? Look at all the names I mentioned. Whatever we are doing today, they saw it in their days, in their cities. These cities were loaded with fire. Christians dominated, Antioch. Dominated there, that they started calling them Christians everywhere. But today, all of them, they are practicing what? Islam. A city that their forefathers were Christian. No church now. Is that a coincidence? So I said to myself, I wish I can say, wallahi talai bilai lazi. It is ignorance for the church to be quiet. Because see, the government, they don't even know what they are doing. See, they are just interested in their own political gain. Useless political gain. They are very ignorant and immature. It's only the church that can save this nation right now. I know what I'm telling you, people. It's only the church. When the Bible told us we are the light of the world, the Bible was not making a mistake. Say, let's church do their thing, let government do their thing. Who told you that? When you read the Bible and the Bible said the government shall be upon their shoulders, you think God was kidding there? When he said you are the light of the world, a city set upon the hill, you can't be hidden, you think the Lord was kidding there? In other words, if the church does not fulfill our ministry as the church, the Bible said the whole city or the whole world will lose our what? Saltiness. I've done several research and I saw how prophets spoke to kings, which we can substitute for president today. I even saw how Paul spoke to rulers in the book of Acts. He spoke to government. I don't have time to show you all of those things today. I would have shown you people. And I was wondering, what is the difference? Not just fathers of faith, even Christians, we have to be actively involved and interested in politics the right way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The regular human being who wants to be a politician, most of them today are just interested in their own selfish interests. They tell you it is a game of interest with human lives there. And what is the interest there? What they will eat and drink. Just this morning, while I was studying, I checked, a notification came, somebody was killed. I was like, people were killed. I was like, Jesus Christ. For every time I see people dead, my spirit, sometimes you see my whole body shaking. I can't imagine that souls, people can die, just die like that, like meat, and the country is still moving forward, according to them. So we ought to talk. I was telling leaders yesterday, close to 1 million people have died close to 1 million people, if not more. From the beginning of all of this riot and etc. today, you can count close to 1 million or more people. In a day, you are burying 500 people. Is that a joke? Hundreds of people dying every day. There is almost no day you don't hear they've killed somebody in Jos. I said, before you know, they'll finish Jos. How many Christians are in Jos? Let me show you something very interesting. I said, okay. I started doing a research to understand how they took over Turkey. They had 3 jihad that happened. They covered it with military strike, but it was a jihad. 3. We were praying, but they were coming with their arms. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They came for the first one. They did the second one. I wrote them down. The Seljuk victory the Ghazis and border warfare, the Ottoman conquest. 3. They did the first time, they killed a lot of Christians. They came again, they killed a lot of Christians. They came, it was more like a war. When they did it 3 times, there was almost no Christians. The ones that were remaining, they surrendered to be alive. That's how they took over Turkey. We are seeing this thing replicating. You have seen a nation who had made several attempts to register Nigeria as an Islamic nation. Several attempts. You think this thing is not strategic for them? It is very 100% strategic. Sometimes I'm wondering, is it that when we come to that point where they say, okay, no church service can happen, I tell you, nobody will keep quiet. But as long as we have not come to that point, people think that everything is okay. And I said something, I don't mean no harm. And if you suspect I'm speaking about somebody, whoever you are thinking, I grew up in the same place with the person. If there's somebody I should stand for, it should be somebody that I saw their rising. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I was telling somebody that when we were younger, we were in a meeting and a man of God came and talked down somebody that grew in our place. We just stood up and left the meeting. We were over 300 youths that stood up and left the meeting. So I can't come and speak against that kind of person today. But I was saying something that sharing relief materials is not the solution. You have to talk from your podium. We brag that when we speak, nations listen to us. Nations listen to us. If we start shouting from our podium, you think these people will not start vibrating from the office? They will vibrate. But whenever they kill people, you go and give the remainders rice. Is that a solution? What if there are no people to eat rice tomorrow? Who will you you give the rights to? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Logically. This is still part of the second part of the message, apostolic alignment. What am I trying to hit here? That Paul spoke against government several times. Oh Lord, help me to see this scripture. I don't know if I wrote them down. I don't think so. He spoke several times to government. Going to the Old Testament, it was littered everywhere. Elijah spoke to government. Samuel spoke to government. You all know that. Elijah spoke to government. By government, I mean kings. Remember, we're doing Second Kings last week. How that the king called Elijah what? My father. After they corrected the president, he said, my father, my father. Can that happen in our days today? Very possible if we do things the right way. Samuel will look at Ahab and said, the Lord has dethroned you. You'll start shaking like fly. You'll be shaking. Samuel will look at what did I call his name? Ahab, I mean. King Ahab. He will look at him and speak to him boldly. Read your Bible. You will see exclamation mark. God warned you that you should not do this and you did it. One time he booked appointment and he came late. He said you people should come by 9 a.m. And by 1 p.m. Samuel had not come. And some people came and said, you are king, his prophet. How can the whole city be waiting for prophet when king is here? And the team boosted him. He rose his shoulder high. What was the problem? He just discovered he is king. And Samuel was prophet. And he made a declaration, slaughter all the animals. When Samuel came, he said, the people say. And Samuel said, you've lost your crown. And insulted him like two lines. And told him, for obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. When he told him, he thought it was a joke. That's how he lost his crown. How many prophets today can look at Tinubu and say, you have lost your seat? For the wickedness thou art doing, thy seat has been lost. God has not changed. If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. God has not changed in the way he operates. And listen to me, people of God. Nothing is more important than human life. Nothing in the world is more important than what? Human life. Nobody can create human life. We can create roads. Can we create human life? Except we are able to protect life first. We are not doing anything as leaders. Life number one. We are not doing anything as leaders. I don't want to talk because I will not come for second term. What is second term compared to the lives of people? Even God speaking, he said, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? To God, there is nothing in this world that you can give in exchange of one soul. From God's perspective. That means if we have any governor, any president keeping quiet to the killings of human beings because of a political position, that is, the Bible calls them wicked rulers. Wicked rulers. So what am I trying to say? If we keep on keeping quiet, God forbid, we may say Holy Ghost fire, blood of Jesus. We did not say it more than Ephesus. We did not pray this prayer more than the church in Antioch. I tell you, little by little, you see these guys entering for. You know, I said something on my video. We are claiming Christian politicians. Which people are Christian politicians? You see them saying anything? They're like, you know, when you hold your dog and you're walking on the road. Is anywhere Bele is? And I tell you, this is the kind of Christian some of us have become, you know. We keep quiet as long as we are making the money. We keep quiet. We are not grounded on the word of righteousness. We can say no. No matter the cost, we can say no. If we keep on raising Christians like that, you think anything will happen to this nation? We should be able to raise people that can look at 1 billion that their grandfather and nobody in their lineage has ever touched and reject it because of unrighteousness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why we're going back to the root, the apostolic bedrock. We saw it from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did he say? They say, worship me and I'll give you all the glories of this world. He looked at the enemy, Satan. He said, he did not say, I will not worship you, I worship God and God will give me. What did he say to him? He wants us to think like that. He said, the Bible said, thou shalt worship only the Lord your God and him alone shall you serve. He didn't put any privilege that comes in worshiping God. He said, it's just a command. We ought to worship only God. He didn't say, because God will give me all of this. He said, we ought to what? Worship only God. It doesn't matter if God gives me or not. Worship belongs to God alone. Are you all understanding me tonight? Worship belongs to who alone? God alone. Doesn't matter the privileges. And I think that's where a lot of Christians get it wrong. Worshipping God and waiting for a BMW. Worshipping God and waiting for a Benz. God, I don't worship you for 4 years. Where's my Benz? You got to be careful. I've said it several times. Serving God is different. Now, I believe as you serve God, there's a covering of favor, a cloud of favor around you. A mighty cloud of blessings around you as you serve God. But I tell you, you will never see it in manifestation, because the interface that allow for this blessing to find expression in our world is called works of your hand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, I will bless the word works of your hand. Meaning you must have something doing with your hands for you to interface with that blessing and have material success upon the face of the earth. Now be blessing conscious, but understand that that blessing can only find expression through the word works of your hand. But you know, a lot of Christians now are so working hard without being blessing conscious. That's the problem again. The Bible did not design that we should eat from the sweat of our labor. The Bible only commands us to work. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It commands us to work. I was teaching the leaders yesterday that the Bible teaches that God speaking to the Israelites, he commanded them to give for the building project in the wilderness. Isn't that interesting? That God looks at the people in the wilderness and he said, give for the building of my project. That's Exodus 36. And the Bible said they kept on giving every day. How can you be giving every day? Satan, the two builders came to Moses and said, this money they are giving is too much. And Moses said, people should stop giving. We have reached the minimum. What made these people to give like that in the wilderness? What kind of business were they doing in the wilderness? Now, at a point, they began to brag. They tell Moses, we are the one that did this thing. We are the one that built this church. And God appeared and spoke to them in a cloud. He said, listen, I am the Lord God that gave you the power to make wealth. In other words, it may seem like you were working and seeing money as a resultant effect of your work. But you never knew that behind the scene, I was the one making sure that every of your work was productive. And this is where a lot of Christians miss it. I'm a serious Christian, but they think it's their work that is giving them money. There's a cloud of favor around you that when you work, you see results. Because there are a lot of people who are working and not seeing results. So don't get it wrong. Because if God said, I gave you the power to bring about wealth and that I have blessed you, it doesn't mean that you should not work. How you interface with this blessing is by work. He said something to us in the book of Psalms. He said, blessed is the man woe is the man that wakes up in the morning and sleeps in the night only to eat the bread of sorrow. In other words, he has to work very hard to eat. He said, but I give it my beloved even bread in his sleep. Now, he's not telling you that you should not work. He's saying for you, when you are done working and haven't sleeping, to be producing money. The system you have created will still be producing what? Money. And I believe that you will not just see that money will be coming. No. I believe what God is trying to say is that there's an advantage for the believer. Because I will give him the wisdom to create systems that even though he was sleeping, the system will be what? Producing money. I don't know that people are getting on trying to explain to you. That's why I said when you tithe, I will open the what? Windows. Meaning I will give you eye there. You don't walk through a window. You see through a window. Christians must understand this. You don't interface with the blessing by saying, the manifestation of the blessing, is not that I gave 2,000, God gave me 4,000. It's not Niger Ben. Even though I believe the titan is a sure hold, but it's not Niger Ben. You know, I've heard people say short a lot of times. And now this one was walk. But it's not like that. He said, I'll bless you with such a blessing that even your household cannot contain. Listen up. A blessing that your household is not 4,000 naira. For 2,000 naira. Because even 4,000 naira, your bank can, you don't even need UPay. You just collect the cash. Because that one has finished on arrival. He said, I'll bless you with such a blessing that your household, may the money will reach everybody. It will not only reach, they cannot contain the money. Of course, God will not give that kind of money to somebody that does not want to give to his household. Catch the revelation. He said, the money that your household cannot contain, meaning you are giving to God and you would love to give to people too. So God is seeing the trace that, tithe only flows or works for people that are ready to give to their household. But if it's akagom, it does not work. So when you are bragging, I will have money that my household cannot contain, we'll ask you a question. Do you give to your household? Or do you lie to your household that you don't have? And pastor, when I have, I will give. It is he that is faithful in little, that is faithful what? In plenty. Now question is, 1 billion, can your household contain 1 billion? What of 2 billion? Some of you are not talking to me because you don't feel I'm talking to you. You don't know, you don't feel it. If I say 100k now, you can relate. Well, as I'm saying 2 billion now, you feel like I know that one. No, not be me that they talk to. My papa, my mama don't get that kind of money. I mean, can you contain 10 billion? Yes, sir. Am I talking to people that can hold 15 billion in their account? Okay. I think I get what you are trying to say now. I'll talk about $50 million, these dollars. That's what the Bible is speaking about. A blessing that your household cannot contain. You put it everywhere, is it not enough? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say to you? Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And that's why I was telling some people yesterday. I say, when you see jobs, one is 200k, another is 1 million, another is 5 million. Which one should you apply for? You see, many people say, that's why some people, they ask them, what do you think we should pay you? You shock you. Have you been there before? You apply for a job, they now ask you, what do you think we should pay you? You just be shocked. You see, then I'm trying to play safe. Make I know they're greedy. Well, I'm not saying be crazy. But they did not mention 1 million. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying go on. It depends on how you see the shop. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Or the business. And how your qualification, how much you understand you are qualified for the job. You can't have one certificate and say, give me 1 million. They are managing you in the firm. But you know you have done your assignment. They now ask you, what do you think? You can start with, well, I can start with. And they are like, okay. I can start with 2 million. I can start with 2 million. I was talking to one of our guys here. He was telling me how that he was in a job and he got, you know, framed or something. So he left that company for another company that was paying him 100,000 less. This 100,000 or 200,000, he was receiving 700,000, now 500,000, so 200,000 less. So he got offended and, you know, felt so bad. I always was encouraging him. And at a point, he was not disturbing the firm to add the salary because they promised to add the salary after 5 months, but they refused to 1 million. So he now proposed to them that if they don't add the salary after some weeks, he's going to take another job that are ready to give him 1 million. Now, he told me at that point he didn't even have that job yet. He just applied. And he told them, when they asked him how much salary, he told them 1 million. So they started, they said, we'll start. He even said more. So they told him, we'll start with 1 million. So when he got the job, as he was getting the letter, the other company now called him and said, we are ready to give you 1 million. So he called me for advice. I said, these people only proposed 1 million because they heard that another company has given you 1 million. This 1 million that you are standing like this, if you collect this 1 million, you will stay in this 1 million till Jesus comes. But these other people are starting with 1 million. What do you think? Starting point is 1 million. Meaning these people can tell you 2 million tomorrow. So I said, my brother, this thing don't need enough Holy Ghost to know the answer. Just move by the Spirit. And it's in a better location. That one was Kano. This one is Lagos. I say, if there's no even bandits, so just move. And that's how I moved. So there's a way you understand your place in God, that when they say, what salary do you think we should give you? You say 1.5 for a start. See how some people are laughing. Say, my papa, the person will give my papa work. He don't collect that until he retire. Now we're not talking about civil service here. With all due respect, it's not government work we're talking about. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. You know, we had an experience here. Somebody was asked, what should we pay you? The person now called an amount. They now added 50,000 for her. Meaning, they get no understand this thing. They now add 50,000. I think the person said 300, it'll be 400. Now I said, we'll add 50,000. So it's like 450 or 350 or something. I can't remember. You can imagine. The person now say, hey. Because she now saw a lower staff collecting over 500, 600. Say, hey. Meaning, I would have said 1 million. That's why I like the Igbo guys. They will first tell you far. You now come and stay where the prophet is. Where you are begging the Oga, you are begging them for 200k profits. And they are telling you, see, no, be so I buy this. I feel show you paper. There is nothing on that paper. Are you here tonight? What am I saying? We have to what? Have an apostolic alignment. Do things the way early churches did. And I emphasize solely on what? Talking, men of God speaking to government. Are we together? And I emphasize also on a little bit emphasis on what? Making sure we don't do extra, you know, unnecessary church activities. That's one of the problems we have in today's church. Unnecessary church activities. You see somebody wanting to do concerts. Every time you want to do concert, every time you want to do comedy, you want to do this, you're just looking for activities. Christians can't grow that way. For instance, some people now, this church may be boring them. What is he talking? Let's shout. Let's dance. If you allow them now, they'll remove handkerchief and start doing their leg like they want to do leg over. That's what they would have preferred, to come to the front now and choir will be firing it. They'll just be moving their leg. They are Peter's them. It was prayer and communion and Bible study. So who has a question? That was what made dead people to come back to life. Are you beginning to try and say? That was what made blind eyes to open. But if it's activities, we'll still have all the light and the decoration. Nothing. Nothing. No demonstration of the Spirit. I remember the man of God was hitting a point that really touched me. He said, today in the church, we're arguing mundane things, stupid things. With what is happening in the Nigerian church, it's useless things we're arguing. Is this one a sin? Is that one a sin? He now said some part that got me laughing. He said, we have over a tattoo. Tattoo. I started laughing. He said, we have a tattoo. We are arguing with that tattoo. He said, unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. Now listen, you don't work for a foundation. You work from one. When you correctly align with Christ, your prayers and fasting become the natural growth of a solid structure rather than a desperate attempt to keep a collapsing life together. So you are not fasting and praying, you know, to become a better Christian. You are fasting and praying from the resources that can help for you becoming a better Christian. You know who you are. That's why you are fasting and praying. You are not fasting and praying to get to discovering who you are. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. So you are more like tapping into what is already existing, aligning with what is already existing. Now I'm touching doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul said something very important there. He said, "For no one can lay any word foundation other than the one that's already been laid." Now, what is that one that's been laid? He said, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ our Lord. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." If we make an attempt to lay another foundation, we'll be in big problem. So now listen to a point I wrote under this scripture. I said, this confirms that any spiritual work, in bracket prayer, fasting, ministry, not built directly on Christ is what? Invalid. By invalid, I mean it is more like trying to time something, aim at something and not hitting your target. You see somebody in church after praying and fasting is still going back to an addiction. After praying and fasting, he's still going back to a low life, a life of sin, a life of darkness. After, in fact, in ministry, still attempting to do wrong stuff. That's why you hear reports sometimes, not trying to mock, that a preacher raped a lady. A preacher, and some of them are true. Why? Because they got into ministry without the understanding of Christ. So you may look good, you may look innocent, but your heart is full of darkness because you don't know Christ. When the flood of life comes to you, what are the flood of life? Some people think it's water coming to hit somebody. It is trials and temptation. You are preaching as a pastor on the stage and you see all the beautiful ladies in your congregation. And the funniest part is that some of them or majority of them like you as a preacher. It's not like they are just there. They don't even like you. They like you as a preacher. That's a problem now if you are not on the rock. Because you may want to have a share with all of these ladies. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. Because like I always tell pastors, I say most young ladies who love the Lord want to marry people who love the Lord. So it's only natural that when they see a young man that loves the Lord, they are pushed, drawn towards that young man, even if he looks very ugly. As long as he's wearing suit and tie, he's a speck. And that's why I tell pastors sometimes, I say, the way you people look ugly, sometimes you are tempted to think you are so fine. That's why the ladies are liking you. Because sometimes a pastor can be stupid. You see somebody saying, you know, I hate it when a young man says they are disturbing me. Guests are disturbing me. I always feel that young man is a very indisciplined young man. When you hear any young man saying guests are disturbing me, he's a very indisciplined young man. And Judy, they always disturb me. She always call me. I don't tell Judy, say I don't like this thing. Every day, yesterday, ma, she called me. They begged me, say she loved me. That's a foolish young man. If you check very well, if Judy don't disturb them for a day, they'll ask Judy, how about the disturb? I'm missing it. Because for every action, there's what? An equal and opposite reaction. The reason why that lady keeps on disturbing you is because you are not ready to live without that disturb. If you tell her, young woman, this will be the last time you call me, she will not call you. If you don't give green light, like my pastor those days would say, if you don't give green light, nobody will come close to you. It is when you give green light that they'll come close to you. You are chatting with somebody and you're not asking, what? Tell me about you. They don't take it one step at a time. Don't rush it. How did every part of the day go? Now that's somebody that's avoiding Judith. Before you know, some of these foolish ones will start taxing Judith. Yes, a lot of Christian brothers do it. Judith, how far? If you get 5K. Some of these boys that you see them fine, like they have sense, that's how they behave. As long as a lady just is attracted, don't build the lady. The lady will start feeling that that's her husband. should be giving with that mindset. Now my man be this. They will not tell the man, why is this lady feeling indebted? Why is this lady feeling like she owes you? You not say, I don't know why she did tell people saying I did not tell her anything, you know? Foolish young man. Meanwhile, if you check deeply, he has been collecting everything. If you check the transfers, even that money they transfer in transport. No shame again. No shame. We're having a lot of young men who don't have shame. You want to marry at this point of your life. You want to marry in 2 years. You already say, me and my wife will join money for the marriage. You don't have shame. Instead of to trust God that you can cover your wedding. Now, if that point comes, you cannot. It's because, of course, you have been saying you cannot. My wife is here, she can tell you. When I knew when I was going to marry, I started saving. When I paid for her, she said, hey. She started telling me doings. I never heard her say things like that. And I was laughing. When I paid for this, she was shocked. That's why I walked majestically into my way. If they pay for my hall, and there's a way I'll be walking. I will not talk with authority. Because even hall, they pay for even everything they pay. Even the food, I will not chop well. They'll be like, don't eat that food fast. Don't eat it fast. Eat it slow. You didn't pay for it, remember? Thank God I don't have in-laws like that, sir. But you will not just have peace of mind. That's what I'm trying to say. You will not. I think that's one of the problems in the world today. I was reading an article somewhere. Men without shame. Men that don't have shame again. That's why most marriages now, women are the head, low key. There is nothing they are not doing in the house. It's from now you can see that trace. I was talking in the football feed. I was telling some of the boys there. I was forcing them to pay for their dues. What was their dues? I think it was 500 or something. So I was forcing them. I said, all of you, because you know, pastor will always try to do something and a few other guys there. And I said to them, we will stop. You guys should pay. When last did you buy football in this place? So I said, it's beyond all of this. I said, what I'm scared of is a generation rising without responsibility, consciousness of responsibility. I said, you all here are more than 25 years old. And you cannot give 500 in a month, so amount in a month. I said, what if you get married? I said it to their faces. Some of them were laughing. I said, is this how you take care of your home? And I said to them, we have to teach you the right things to do. Some people don't mind. As long as they are doing everything for them, they don't mind. They don't mind. That's how they even choose who to marry. All women choosing who to marry for men. Why will you marry? I didn't do everything for me. He even sent me 1 million to the money. Hey, God bless me. He said, we'll come see my people next week. Now, wow, God is good to me. How did you know it was God's will? He sent you money. And you know, some of these Christian brothers so annoy FP matters. They'll be sending scriptures. They never send money. Only scripture, Bible verse. In the morning they've sent her a scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other good thing will be added. Them, they are not helping matters. Birthday of the lady come, they are sending article. They have time to write love article, add it with Songs of Solomon, and send. Meanwhile, unbelievers are doing buffet. They'll come with, you know, I give. You come, silver or gold, I have not. What I have, I give unto you. Rise up. At least you try. You make effort. Sincere what? Effort. We're not saying kill yourself. Nobody saying steal. But make what? Sincere effort. Learn it now. There's dignity in saying no. As a man, the lady is doing everything. Learn to say no. Don't do it. How can we look at the whole you like this, from head to toe? Is everything a woman gave you? There's no dignity. And you are ready to collect the next one. No shame. Ragash. I just spoke to some demons out of some people like this. Sir, you are saying yes, sir. You think they don't mean it. They mean this, yes, sir, they are saying. Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So when you hear the foundation of the apostles, they are not saying they had a separate doctrine. What is the foundation of the apostles? Christ Jesus. I would have said something here, but I don't think the atmosphere is conducive. It said this connects the apostolic teaching directly to the person of Jesus. He is the stone that makes the whole structure straight. Now let me hit this last part before we pray. Matthew 7:24, the practical test, hearing versus doing. Matthew 7:24. Let's read together. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to what? A wise man who built what? On the rock. Next part of scripture. Everyone, let's read together. And the rain sent, and what? And it did not. Why did it not fall? Simple and short. If your doctrines are right, you won't go down. If the doctrines are wrong, you will go down. What will prove it? Difficult seasons. Difficult moments. Are you here tonight? So make sure you guard your heart with all diligence. Because from it flows what? The issues of life. Don't stand with the wrong doctrines because of probably the people that said it. Sometimes that's a problem. So person said it, that's why I believe it. No, you have the Holy Ghost. Your Holy Ghost is not in somebody else's life. Luke 6 affirms that verse 48. It says, "Is a man that hears the word and does it is like a man who dug the ground so deep and built his house on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded where? On the rock. You will be faced with difficulty. Satan will come. He will come. And I said, sometimes the problem is not the word of God you heard. Sometimes it's your heart. Remember Matthew 13. The seed fell on so hard and so hard. Today when you hear the word, harden not your heart. Are you listening to me tonight? Go for sound doctrine beyond any other thing. Paul told Timothy to guard your life and the people that hear you. You have to pay close attention to your doctrine. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Many people take doctrine so lightly. They don't understand that that's why they are standing for Jesus today. If you remove your eyes from the wrong right doctrine and focus on the wrong doctrine, you will start sinking. When difficulties come, they'll put you to the ground. They'll push you and get you to the ground. Because you are not on the rock. You're on sinking sand. Trials and tribulation must come. But the proof that you are standing on the right revelation is the stamina to stand. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. They must come. If you find that you always fall to difficult moments, when temptation comes, you always fall to it. Check either your heart or the doctrine, the rock, the ground you are standing on. Is it that the doctrine is wrong or your heart has a problem? Probably the seed is falling on the wrong ground, or probably your belief system is wrong. Are you listening to me this very moment? In Isaiah 28:16, it says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be what? Stricken with what? Panic. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Maybe you give me the Amplified rendition. Thank you. Whoever believes and adhere to that stone will not what? Be disturbed or give way in what? Sudden panic. He will stand. One other point before we go. You know why Paul stressed sound doctrine for Timothy and Titus? Because it acts as architectural level. Now I'll show you a few reasons. Number one, he was protecting the structural integrity. I'm borrowing architecture now. Structural integrity. Paul used the word hygiano. Where we get the word hygiene from? When he spoke about healthy or wholesome doctrine. Just as a body needs healthy skeleton to stand, a believer needs healthy teaching to remain outstanding and effective. And there's an example here now. Imagine you are eating wrong food every time. What will happen to you? We'll start seeing wrong effects. Start getting sick. Isn't it? Like one day I saw my dog purging, vomiting. And I said to my wife, I think he ate something that was bad. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if you eat bad food, you see bad effects. Why do you see some people? All the to them for Christianity is to bore their ears and put dye and the rest. UK, I'm not trying to talk down UK. UK used to be one of the home of Christianity. They believe so much in Jesus that for every end of their street, there's a church. Every end of the street, you don't need to go far to go to church. There's a church at the end of every street. But it's not like that today. There's a young man who is a millionaire that has risen up in the UK. He's buying back churches because they are selling churches to other firms. Some of them have been chained to club. The young man stood up and he started buying back churches and giving to pastors. I was talking to the colleague, we were joking, and I said to him, if the man buy one, you can tell him to give us, you can become the pastor there. Because he was tired, he said, I can't believe it. See, because he has a right mindset, he's an ambassador of Jesus. He said, no, I insist. You know, there was rumor that came out in this city and in several cities like Jos, the Middle Belt, how that the Muslims want to take over this place by all means. You know, when I was doing my research on Turkey also, I found out that they use the influence of wealth and relocation to take over that place too. You know how they use the influence of wealth? Though they have spies that they send money to buy structures in a city. They'll go to the center of town and be buying properties. You want to sell a property for like let's say 5 billion. Somebody gives you 5.1 for 1 billion. It's 100 million for miscellaneous. You think, why is this person so nice? His name is Aminu. The other person's name is John. John is pricing 4.8 billion. Aminu gives you 5.1 billion. Most human beings, except God, is sitting at the center of your heart. You will say, Aminu, we are all one. Take. They will neglect. I have a friend in Krumah. The mother, before she died, she said, don't sell this house to a Muslim. That's what she told him. Do not sell. No matter what happens, don't sell it. So, Muslims were not going with bigger money. They put the house with a particular amount of money. They were bringing times two of the money. The guy and his family, his brothers, were refusing to sell. Why? Mommy's instructions say we should not sell to what? A Muslim. So they waited till a Christian came. Brought a little bit low and they sold it. Why? Because the mother understands something they don't understand, probably. That's how these people behave. They come to town. There's a pastor who owns a property close to where we have our property. He said a Muslim wanted to buy something at the back and create more like a shopping mall. And he said no. He refused it. Even though the money was the accurate money he needed. And was still praying and hoping for another person to come and buy. He said the reason is because I know, sir, that when they open that, they will always put a mark beside it. It's not because we hate them. See, if these people are just practicing their religion, nobody hates them. But they have a certain mentality of dominion that Christians are supposed to have. That when they enter a place, they just want to take over. By all means. And the system for taking over is not even the right way. It's killing. You accept Muhammad or you die. That's why we have to start talking up. You know, the man of God was saying something that really broke my heart. And it's true. Do you know how many pastors today who are in the den of kidnappers? I'm not telling you a lie, people of God. I'm telling you fact. I told you the other day I was talking with somebody, a friend in Maiduguri. I don't even know whether he's dead because in the last 2 months we have not even communicated. God keep him alive. Maybe I'll check him up today and see whether everything is okay. He told me, he said, I just sent my son to Abuja to go to school. I have taught him. When he finishes, he come here once in a while to stay with me and see how things are happening. But I'm the one that will face it right now because God told me to come here. He was in US. God told him to come to Maiduguri and do mission work. He said the number of students he has sent to Bible school who converted from Islam, because God sent them, go and convert those people. He has converted over 500, he said, they've trained in Bible school. He now asked me, do I see some Fulani people preaching on Facebook and the rest? He said, they are their students. And that's what they've been doing all this while. Telling me how that they will catch pastors, kill them, catch them. You know, they will know that this route is bad, but they will dress like Muslims and Fulani and be going, you know, trying to just escape the route and go and preach to a certain place and come back. Telling me how many pastors have died, how that many widows, is it widows I'll call them, many pastors' wives, you know, lost their husband, children just scattered everywhere, and etc. Now, it's too much. Sometimes I feel some of these guys up there, they don't even have an idea of what is happening. The first time I spoke about this killing, I said to you people that I don't think you people understand, because you grew probably in Benue, and some of you grew in Abia and Lagos and Abuja, so you don't probably have an idea. I grew in the heart of this issue. I grew in Kaduna State. And I grew in Kaduna North, not just Kaduna State. So when you talk about fighting, I saw fighting. I've lost friends just after service. They went back home when I was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. They went back home and they died after serving the mass. Held the mother's hand, tie her hand to the back, put the boys in the room, light fire, burnt them alive. I remember how the Reverend Father was crying while he was celebrating the service of the dead, of the guys who were dead. They served that Sunday. Beyond that, I've seen many, I've lost people. We've heard of deaths. I know ministers who have died. Many ministers. You just say, so person is dead. What happened? They were fighting in this part and they choked him the knife and he did not survive it. Blah, 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 blah. So casual. We're used to it. So at a point that the thing was not looking like it is becoming a joke. That's why some of us have the mind to speak it. Coupled with the fact that we are prophets. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because it's too much. I was speaking with a friend, he said, I hear them arguing some things on Facebook. I don't even know, I can't even indulge in that argument. How can somebody be arguing with that tattoo is a sin? He said, maybe God forbid that I even start that kind of discussion. I want to talk with serious-minded people. Somebody in mission field in Maiduguri will sit down with you and say, tattoo is not a sin. If you start a conversation, he will stand up and just lock his door and say, please go back to where you are coming from. He doesn't have time for those kind of useless discussion. They are not even having tattooed. The people are not receiving Jesus. It's when they have, people will receive. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm challenging you to be strong as Christians. This is long. I'll stop here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you getting me tonight? Continue in the second service. So be very, very serious as a child of God. Be very serious. Sometimes when I see us arguing useless argument, I just laugh. It's just because Jesus is not highlighted enough in your heart. When you see serious people, you can tell. Even for ladies. Is there a lady want to dress and show her breasts or show her hands and everything? You don't have Jesus at the center of your heart. If you have, what does it take you to cover yourself up properly? What are you trying to show? It's a curse. It's like a curse on you. That if you want to dress, your breast must show. Why must the breast? Do we beg you to see your breast? Why must it have to show? Say, that's the way me I like to dress. It's a marine spirit. Why will you want to be showing your private part outside? And when they talk, you get offended that they are judging you. Why will we not judge you? In fact, the Bible says, judge thyself so that you will not be judged. Maybe when you finish, check the mirror and judge yourself. This dressing, as I wear this cloth, like, is it good? Why my this day outside? Why my that? If you judge yourself, you will not change the cloth. At the end, you will not be what? Judge. But if you don't judge yourself, we'll judge you outside. And the Bible says, judge yourself. So that this judgment here is not a bad one. It will tell you that this dressing is wrong. Smoking is wrong. Bribery is, I've judged you. Not condemn you. Krima and katakrima. Remember those words? To say something is wrong does not mean I've condemned you. To condemn is the one that is wrong. Are you all listening to me? So let's go back to apostolic Christianity. Let's go back to it. This is not a message for shouting and the rest. It's a call for meditation, deep meditation. Let's go back to it. If you really love the Lord, there are certain things you will not do. Like my friend would say, it's not a debate. If you love the Lord, there are certain things you will not do. Are you listening to me tonight? Go back to true Christianity. Look at what is happening with the present day church. Somebody is more focused on worldly songs. Somebody is more focused on doremi. So you are not serious with the Lord. Make up your mind to be serious with the Lord. Make up your mind. Are you listening to me tonight? You can't afford to be lukewarm this season. You can't afford to be lukewarm. Like I was preaching somewhere, they were telling me about a lady who lost her father, and before they even buried the father, she was already following one boy and misbehaving. And I said to them, I said, you see, since nature is terrible. And now I want to expound it. I said, we are talking about Benue State that is carrying first in HIV and AIDS. Benue State is carrying first in HIV and AIDS. That's where we are carrying first. And I'm telling you, there are some people who still want to sin. They want to still go through that process that will give them HIV and AIDS. Like it's burning in. They want to do it. How can you know that this part, if I enter, I will die? And yet, there's something pushing you to enter. You see, that's sin's nature. It's an evil part. But something is still pushing you to go through that part. I was telling leaders yesterday that I was preaching to some footballers. After I observed something, they were joking with a boy that has over 5 girlfriends. And not like they said it, oh, he gave me his phone to check something. So he was showing me something on WhatsApp. And I saw him talking to 5. I said, ah, bro, you didn't talk to 5 girls at the same time. He said, Pastor, no, I don't tell them one thing like that. I said, oh, okay. He now collected the phone very fast. So I now did not talk. After a few weeks, I wanted to preach to all of them. So I started joking. I said something in the beginning. So that caused it, you know, some of them plot. And so he was playing so bad. And I said to him, I said, it's like your head is heavy in you because this is your hair is too plenty. That's why to even chessboard now is very hard for you. So we're just laughing. At the end of it, and I said to him, and I started preaching to all of them. I said, for instance, the other day they joked somebody had 5 girlfriends here. And that person does not have up to 100,000 in his account. Not even 50,000. With 5 girlfriends. And I asked them, if the Lord gives you 1 month's salary in Asna, because they always pray when they are traveling, sometimes they call me, Pastor, pray for me. I say, if the Lord give you 1 month salary when Asna sign you, even the money they used to sign you already can kill you if you are not properly trained. Imagine you are saying 100 and something million or 200 and something million in your account, what your generation has never touched. And they say all of this money belongs to you. Now you have 5 girlfriends. How many will you have? 5 million. It means you are getting closer to your death. That simply means very soon you get HIV and AIDS and you die. When I was speaking, it was touching some people. Then one of them said, Pastor, if I get more money, I'll go buy protection now. Very crazy, guys. So I now turned to that one and responded, that is not even a guarantee that you are getting protected. We're not kids yet. That's what I'm saying, because some people have that mentality. Go and read Sciences Enough. That's not a guarantee. If it's like that, we will not be carrying first in HIV and AIDS. Are you all listening to me now? The Holy Ghost is what can change you. Yeah, because they asked me finally, Pastor, what can make us to become those kind of people? I said the Holy Spirit. Couple the fact of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary. He will make sure we become the reality of that blueprint on Calvary. Sit with the Holy Ghost. Because the enemy has come, but to what? To what? To what? Sit with the Holy Ghost. His only surety that you touch everything Jesus has done for you. And just be submitted to his ministry completely. Be submitted to his ministry completely. Completely. Be humble. Like Apollos. Be humble. Be submitted to his ministry through the church, through the fivefold ministry, through your sub-leaders in the department. Be submitted to the Holy Ghost ministry. When they catch you talking too much to women and they correct you, listen. Don't defend yourself. I was taught when I was growing up not to defend myself before my leaders. I don't know how to defend myself before my leaders. And most are, No, we're not taught like that. We're taught to only stand and be corrected. And sometimes they may not even say some things properly because they got it wrong. But we got the correction and we move. That's how we're taught. No, sir, you are getting this side wrong. Sir, can I say something? You will never grow like that. Are you all listening to me tonight? Bow your heads and pray. And say, Lord, take me back to the apostolic bedrock. Touch my heart. And mean it. Mean the prayer from the depth of your heart. Go ahead and pray from the very depth of your heart. May I become a vessel for you. Fortify me, make me, touch me by your spirit and your word, that I'll become a vessel profitable for the master's use. Go ahead and pray from the depth, the very depth of your being. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Labra gadia kabaya. Rabba kashuvrahandia kavali javrahadish.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.